This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
In the state of California, because it is a scorcher. I mean, California is on fire. Meanwhile, hurricane season is not over. There's a couple of hurricanes, potential hurricanes anyway, tropical storms that could turn into hurricanes. And while New York celebrates the fact that their infection rate has been below 1% for 30 days, U.S. deaths of coronavirus, or COVID-19 specifically, 189,000 deaths, 6.3 million cases. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I hope you had some rest and relaxation and got a chance to hang with your family and do something nice that was safe. We are worried about Labor Day because would there be hundreds gathered again at some secret frat or sorority party or doing something else where then they would spread some of these cases of COVID-19. Obviously too early to tell on that front. Let's talk about California. I have a lot of friends that live there. We have listeners in the great state of California. The weather is not behaving. It's extreme weather. And when I say that, I mean scorching. 110 degrees a couple of days over the holiday weekend. So this intense heat with these high winds, it is wildfires galore. And when we talk about wildfires, it's always about what's getting scorched. Human lives matter the most, of course, and then what happens with houses. So it is a record-breaking fire season. We thought it was grim last year. More than 2 million acres have been torched. Wow. And it's so tough to put this out. I mean, you've got firemen just going from one direction to the next direction. They say about 150 people were trapped and 10 injured at a Mammoth Pool campground because flames blocked the only road out of the area. And this is always the scary part. And they advise people just, you know, jump into the pool reservoir if you have to. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they were screaming at people. And, you know, just thousands of the Sierra National Forest on fire, almost just poof, up in smoke like you wouldn't believe. Got friends in Las Vegas. We have people listening in Las Vegas. You could feel the smoke coming their way. They say they could see it. They could feel it. It was hazy the last couple of days there. And that's Southern California. In Northern California, on Sunday night, the Fresno County Fire Department said that up to 50 people were trapped near Lake Edison and that 14 hikers were trapped near China Peak. Now, these peaks and areas might not mean anything to you, but you understand what it means to be trapped if you're hiking somewhere and there's no way out. Luckily, the rescue effort is full court press, but the worry is the heavy smoke made it so impossible to try to get in there and make sure they got all of the people, but it was about evacuation. So you had helicopters that pulled about 200 people to safety with flames that were just racing all over the place. And like I said, and if you go to Southern California, we're talking about Mammoth and what that was like at those campgrounds. Labor Day weekend, follow the story, people are going into the woods because this is where you're safe and you're social distancing, and that's exactly what was happening. If we roll back the clock and you listen to one of my earlier shows from a couple of weeks ago, you remember I talked about the phenomenon of 12,000 lightning strikes in the past 3 weeks, and that started it. It sparked about 24 major fires, and then they just have burned tens of thousands of acres and destroyed homes and caused thousands of people to have to get out of the way of these fires. And with that heat and the unusual hot weather and how dry it is and the wind, that just makes it even that much worse. You can multiply it by about 10. And it's crazy because you'll see a fire that will jump from, you know, over the mountain and jump in over also the highway. And this is terrible. So there was no fireworks, or they weren't supposed to be setting off fireworks anywhere, really, in California. And that's the thing. They were constantly telling people, do not set off fireworks. Do not, because, you know, this is a holiday weekend. And this was not the time to do that in Cali. So fingers crossed this keeps this weather gets cooler for them. But right now in the forecast, it's not necessarily cool, and those dry conditions make it that much worse. All right, opposite story, and this is where I'm from Mother Nature. The Atlantic Ocean is pretty active on Labor Day, right? You've got tropical storms Paulette and Renee adding to this crazy record-breaking year. This isn't a shocker because the National Hurricane Center told us that it was going to be that kind of season. So this is storm number 16 and 17. What does it mean? Does it fully form in the next couple of days into something much bigger? It's not necessarily looking that way. I mean, we're still recovering from Hurricane Laura. If you look at Lake Charles in Louisiana and in parts of Florida who got slammed by Laura, really crushed some of those shrimpers who were scared to death and tied boats together and everything else. So you had Laura. That was a terrible storm. And you got these tropical storms and hurricanes that can form really anywhere, like I said, in the very active Atlantic Ocean this time of year. In fact, I saw a wild statistic. 71% of hurricane activity is still yet to come. And where did I see that? Go to weather.com, and you'll be scared. It's like reading a frightening novel of weather when you live in the path of any of these possibilities. And 71% is still yet to come. Yikes. In the meanwhile, we're still dealing with a pandemic. Deaths worldwide. I know we have listeners, thank you, in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, India, Switzerland, and so many other places. 891,000 deaths. 891,000 deaths. Total cases, 27.2 million. I got to say the recovery number because I want to see that number get jacked as high as possible. 18.2 million. And the conversation constantly is about the vaccine. What's happening with the vaccine? How close are we to the vaccine? What's going to happen with the vaccine? In fact, it, of course, is the political punching bag. So over the holiday weekend, the president slammed Joe Biden over the vaccine and defended support for military in a news conference because he was slammed about something that he says was misconstrued and he did not say. So the president used this press conference that he held to push back on those allegations that he disparaged members of the military and to attack Joe Biden over the timing of a potential coronavirus vaccine. He echoed some of the same themes from the Republican National Party, if you will, the convention, criticizing Biden and defending his record on the economy and the COVID-19 pandemic. And he said, at one point, Democrats are apologizing for the reckless anti-vaccine rhetoric that they're talking about right now. So we're going to keep seeing that get more heated, especially as we get closer and closer to those presidential debates. Mark your calendar. September 29th is the very first one. I cannot wait. Hey, coming up this hour, we're slipping and sliding right into the mailroom as we hit the mailbag on the flip side. Hang with us.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. there's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah!
Hi, Dad!
Now, let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Yes, get in the mail there. Get in the mail there.
All right, we are right here in the mailroom, and despite the holiday, there was a flurry of activity, so thanks for that. You can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Some of it centered around California, and as Joe said, listening to us on KCAA, it's a furnace, Kate. It's a furnace out here. You have no idea how awful it is to be living in California right now, and I mean anywhere, north, south, or anywhere in between. We are shattering records. I am very worried about this state. Yeah, I said that to start things off. 121 was what the Weather Service said was the hottest temperature on record in L.A. County. And in San Francisco, the same thing. I mean, they shattered a record that was set back in 1904. I was reading about that in 1904. You know, weather geeks live for that. Like, what was the record? What was the record temperatures? But nobody wants to hear about this. You know, it's just it was a complete haze when you looked at anything from the beach on out into the ocean, whether it was up in the San Francisco Bay or whether we were talking about Hermosa Beach down south. I was looking at different views, and the National Weather Service was happy to serve them up. And, boy, that's just crazy if you think of 100 degrees mid-afternoon in downtown San Francisco, and they haven't seen temperatures like that into September. They haven't seen it, and usually because, especially there, they get a lot of that breeze coasts in, so to speak, but there wasn't any breeze to be had, and they're kind of fire-weary if you think about it. Think about last season, how terrible. Wasn't in the year before that. It wasn't great shakes either. And now here we are 3 years in a row and 2 million acres. Yeah. I mean, usually we're not talking about that many acres, and this is nowhere near contained on either front, whether we're looking at the south or whether we're looking at the north. All right. Then I got this one from Jacqueline, who says, Kate, my son is a senior, thank goodness, in high school, though I say thank goodness and I feel for him because we're starting out virtually. I'm here in Missouri, but I'm looking at some of my friends who have their children who are going off to college, but they're not really going off to college because of the coronavirus threat. And I think that there are some colleges that are kind of hedging their bet. What do you know about that? Well, that's exactly what it is. So you have some schools where there's been an outbreak, but they're telling the students to stay there because if they go home, they would spread it. They could spread it. There's the problem of that. And so shipping them back would do that. Then there's others that are stopping it before it even starts, and they don't want the possibility of anything catastrophic that could touch the campus, but it just depends on how quickly they were going back. So, like, I'll give you an example. I was reading a story about a school I wasn't even thinking of. I mean, there's just so many colleges, right? We've got small colleges, medium, and, of course, supersized colleges like the USCs, the Penn States, the Ohio States. And Ohio State had their outbreak at Chico State in California, where they're going through not only the fires, the pandemic, but what's happening with the kids on the campus. So they've got more than 90% of classes already online. The school had just about 750 students in the residence hall. So that's what they were doing. Another 8,000 to 10,000 living near campus. But the school didn't test any of the students when they arrived. And testing of potentially symptomatic students or individuals has been something that is kind of the rallying cry, right? So the end of August, by August 30th, there had already been 30 cases on the campus and then more exposure. And they're looking at the president saying of that university, we're looking at devastating effects on campus. And then what do we do? The housing, you know, the community, the housing, we have to significantly cut that. We're not sending home students who are in quarantine. There's about like 135 that are staying in university housing because of that and because of hardships. And the school's working with others to relocate to off-campus housing nearby. But there's huge trade-offs here, and the county is worried about this. So just from that small college, that's the thing. So Dr. Fauci has been quoted as saying about students and the virus. He said this. He was on one of the morning shows last week heading into the holiday, and he was saying that sending students home after outbreaks is the worst thing you could do. Because if the schools, they have to isolate infected or potentially infected students on campus instead, because if they don't, imagine how reckless then that could be and how many other people would be affected. So Colorado Springs College, they had three dorms under quarantine. So students in the residence halls tested positive for COVID-19, about 75 to 100 students. They opted to quarantine back home. They got instructions from the county health department. The school allowed parents to pick up their students with an agreement they would drive straight home, no stopping, and be using a personal car. So that was it. Like, you pick them up, poof, they got their stuff. They, you know, basically they're running to catch up to the car, jumping in, and you are out. And that's it. And we just keep seeing more and more schools are saying they're moving classes online for the rest of the semester. That happened at Temple University in Philly. They had 200 plus cases on campus, and then a couple off campus. They realized, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have to put this online. That's what's going to happen here. Because college-age students are what some are calling the vector. They are the accelerator where you can see this virus become more expansive, be more amplified, hit more people. So that's a big conversation. Thanks for bringing that up. And you're right. I mean, it stinks if you've got a kid in school at any level, but certainly a senior in high school, and also the same thing in going to college. This is the thing. I think kids are more resilient than we give them credit for. And this generation is the future generation of what America's going to be. And they're going to be fine. It's just getting through it and figuring out the obstacles and what works and what doesn't work. And that's the name of the game. This one from Michael, who's listening to us in Portland. Kate, it is hellish here in Portland. I'll tell you what, I am so tired of now the city being torn up. I was totally on board in the beginning. I get it. I am absolutely one of those peaceful protesters. And we've had very peaceful protests. And, of course, that's hardly ever reported and started after George Floyd. But at this point, any kind of rioting, we are weary of rioting. We are tired of any sort of rioting whatsoever. And now it's really become more of a clash site between the pro-Trumpers and the people who are supporting Black Lives Matters. And that group has gotten so much bigger, and the vitriol between any of the people that are out there who are choosing sides, it's become, unfortunately, even more divisive. Yeah, I was reading about the concern is the white nationalist extremist groups that are starting to gather, and not gather just in Portland. They're gathering in other spots around the nation, and you've got pistols, knives, rifles, you know, all come into a demonstration. And unfortunately, what does that do when you've got high emotions stirred up? I mean, how do you keep people safe? And here's the thing. If you're going to have one rally and then you're going to have another rally supporting something else, okay, that's not unfamiliar territory in America. Go back in history and look at go back to the beginning of time. Go back to before we had a country, and you'd have yelling on both sides and placards and sandwich boards, and that kind of stuff has been around forever. But this thing is the heatedness, the nastiness, the ugliness, and frankly the scary tactics of some who are there on purpose to cause problems, to make things worse, to cause more political divide, to make it more violent. And it's rattling. And it's rattling to the people of Portland, I would imagine this is what you're saying. Because it's one thing when there's protests, it's another thing when you have people shooting paintball guns and carrying around knives and big machetes and everything else. And that's not an exaggeration. All right, remember, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. A check in on the West Coast with a judge who had COVID. Stay with us.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
U.S. Navy continues searching for a sailor who went missing from the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz during its patrol of the Northern Arabian Sea amid current tensions with Iran. The crew aboard the Nimitz sounded the man overboard alert on Sunday after being unable to find the sailor aboard that nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. The Nimitz is America's oldest aircraft carrier in active service, and it has over 5,000 sailors and Marines. The Nimitz, whose home port is Bremerton, Washington, has been in the Arabian Sea since late July. It replaced the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, which had spent months in the Arabian Sea on its deployment that saw the carrier break the Navy's previous at-sea record. Navy officials continue to limit port calls during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. This is USA Radio News. Wildfires have now burned a record 2 million acres in California this year, and the danger for more destruction is so high, the U.S. Forest Service announced it's closing all 8 national forests in the southern half of the state. California is parched heading into the fall and what is normally the most dangerous time of the year for wildfires. 2 of the 3 largest fires in state history are burning in the San Francisco Bay Area. More than 14,000 firefighters are battling those fires and dozens of others around California. An attorney representing Jacob Blake says Senator Kamala Harris' visit with the family was inspirational and uplifting. Attorney Ben Crump said Blake joined the conversation by phone from his hospital bed. Blake remains hospitalized after being shot in the back 7 times by a white Kenosha police officer while authorities were trying to arrest him. Crump says Harris talked about policy changes she and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden will seek and encourage family members to continue to use their voices to help systemic racism. This is U.S. Say Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to have a conversation with Judge Robert Coates. He's written a book called Crazy People in Court. Very impactful. Some funny moments, some, I think, poignant moments when you read this. And just from a judge's perspective, He really nails it, in my opinion. I liked every second of reading it, and you're going to enjoy this interview. But we got the judge to stick around and ask a few questions about COVID-19 because he's gone through it. Judge, tell us, first of all, what happened to you?
Well, I came home one day, and my wife was standing in the living room, and it turned out that she had been exposed to the virus. And she was just deciding what to do when I showed up. And she said, Roberto, I'm so sorry, so very sorry. And about that time, I fell down because the virus was taking me over. And the guys from the fire truck were taking me to the hospital. And I, by the time I got to the hospital, I was paralyzed.
Oh.
I couldn't say anything. I couldn't move my feet. And so for 10 days, I was in that particular structure. And they were trying to feed me. And I was refusing their food. It was a very painful experience. And then I began to get better, as shown by my ability to move around. And so I was in the hospital for 20 days. And then when I got out, I was still pretty paralyzed. And they gave me a bunch of exercises to do, which I'm still doing. I did them this morning. And they were miraculous. They opened up my lungs, and I'm in better shape than I was before this happened.
Wow. So the good news is that is going on now, but it had to be scary to go through it for sure, and scary for your family to watch that, not knowing what was happening with you.
Yes, and my wife did get the virus also. So she went to the hospital about the same time I did. She is now walking about 5 miles a day.
Ah, wow. Okay, so she bounced back too as well. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll talk to you coming up a little bit later in the show.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so interesting. You heard how devastating that was, and at first the panic, and luckily he and his wife got through it, and we'll talk to him about his courtroom and what that was like and some of what he saw, sadly, and actually on a funny, more humorous note, too. Not humorous here. A college professor in Argentina had these persistent coronavirus symptoms and was teaching class through Zoom, a popular professor in her mid-40s, Paola Di Simone, and she taught 20th century world history at the Universidad Argentina de la Empresa in Buenos Aires, and she complained to the students that she was having trouble breathing during her last Zoom session. Her students were upset, and they said, give us your home address. We're going to try to get you help. But she said, I can't. She was saying, I can't. She collapsed, and she died right there on camera, fell over. You know, they didn't know for sure that's what had happened. They knew that she had passed out, was gone from the Zoom site. Her husband, a doctor, discovered her lifeless body when he came home. That's a sad story. And the professor had a family, of course, a daughter, that kind of thing. And she was just struggling with what was happening. And her husband was there on the front lines. It was pretty complicated, apparently. He was exhausted. And they were talking about the whole thing as they were going through it. She had pneumonia, and that's just one of those awful, awful, awful tales. And in Argentina, a lot of people have been hit very, very hard. Brazil, we know, is right up there in the top three in the world of deaths. And in Argentina, too, they have suffered the ravages of this virus. All right, so speaking of the virus, and since we're going down that road after talking to the judge, the timeline for the vaccine is what is being questioned. It's like somebody said to me the other day, what do you hear things? What's the timeline? When's it going to happen? I said, you know what? If I knew that, I would set up a booth in Las Vegas and I would help everyone. I would tell everybody what was going on. We don't know for sure. We know this is Operation Warp Speed. I could get my old 8-ball out, shake it up, and it would say, ask again later. I could throw out any date that I've been told, and nobody's giving me a specific date. I'm hearing timelines being moved up. So this prediction of that a vaccine would be available by Election Day would be perfect for somebody who's trying to get reelected, and that makes sense, and there would be a push, and if I were running, I'd push for it too. And of course, who's not pushing to get the vaccine? Only a lot of people who are skeptical and don't want to take it because they think it's too fast. They wonder, how effective is this going to be? So there's all kinds of arguments surrounding it. Nothing in this country is not politicized, right? you're either for this, against this. I like mustard. You like ketchup. Whatever it is. I'm serious. It's gotten to that point where we like have to arm wrestle for things, although we have to do it social distancing. So Operation Warp Speed, their scientists are saying different things about what they think. Will people actually be getting shots before Election Day? Very unlikely. very unlikely because the testing is going well. Some of the testing is going well. There is a reason to be optimistic based on the people who are delivering the tests, who are watching it, based on those scientists, those groups of people. But you look at this Dr. Larry Corey. He's leading a group set up by the National Institutes of Health to work on the coronavirus vaccines. He says he doesn't think there's going to be a vaccine available by Election Day. He said the chances are very low, very remote. He leads the COVID-19 Prevention Network. And it's not because they don't want it. It's because how can they make sure it works? Right now in the trials, you've got 30,000 people. Half of them have a vaccine. Half of them have a placebo. That's what you do. And then they just do life. They live day after day after day. You wait and see how many become infected and sick with COVID-19. That's it. It's a waiting game. So in the U.S., there are two-dose vaccines, with each dose several weeks apart. And the makers of this vaccine are targeting locations and populations that will get them to their endpoint quickly. But you know what? It doesn't always work out. It depends on the number of cases, then the number of cases in each group. It's a numbers game completely. It's just like I do a segment called We Can Count, and I always say everything is so in the numbers in our lives, right? And this is really a numbers game. I mean, I want it as bad as you do. Forget any of the politicization, anything that's been politicized around it. Of course I want it. Of course I want something successful to put the brakes on what could affect anybody that I care about, that I love. I mean, of course. But the length of wait depends on how the trial participants come in contact with the virus in their daily lives. So is it people who are out in the public? Are they more at risk? I mean, what kind of people? And that's such a great question. Who's in the trials? Who are the kind of people? And what is the demographic? What does the demographic look like? The way the trial is looking now, depending on which one, it is a lot of people that are more the stay-at-home kind of people. They're not out at one of these rallies. They're not out at some frat party or some party where they could be exposed right and left. So the clinical trials, according to people who are usually finding these folks to participate, this is what I've been told, and this is probably quoted out there all over the place. You have white college educated women that are mostly the people that are receiving dozens of the vaccine clinical trials. So how does that skew some of the data? And most of those people, what would they be doing? They'd be working from home. So they're not the essential workers who are at high risk for contracting COVID-19. And white people make up 60%, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So these aren't made up numbers. White people make up 60% of the population. They account for only 55% of essential workers. So that explains some of what we see. And we know that already with the virus. And Moderna and Pfizer, they're not releasing the education status of their participants. But most of the volunteers tend to be college educated, which is bad news in a sense, right? Because you want this to be people that would be out there in the front lines, that would be more exposed. You could get a better sense of what's happening with the vaccine. We got a winner. The Kentucky Derby. Oh, it was so exciting. No hats were worn. No fans in the stands, but it was exciting. Man Cave next.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
The battle of late stage or terminal illness is a fight that affects everything and everyone in your life. If you or a loved one are dealing with advanced stage conditions that are causing financial hardship, like stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, Alzheimer's, COPD, or ALS, then this message is for you. Our Funds for Living program make it a simple 3-step process. Text the word LIVE to 411-411 or visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and we'll send you a link to get started. Choose the amount of money you need. Apply in seconds. That's it. And you're under no obligation. Fifth Season will advance a portion of your life insurance policy and take over your premium payments so you can provide immediate financial relief to the ones you love, all without any out-of-pocket expenses. Fifth Season Financial wants to help you live your best life. Text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Time to
invade the man cave.
Authentic. I love that name for a horse. Jumped to the front, out-dueled heavy favorite, Tis the Law, in the stretch. Pulled off an upset victory in Saturday's Kentucky Derby. You heard me right. It's not a mistake. The Kentucky Derby was flipped to September. I think initially the hope was that we would have a different world we'd be looking at, and there would be fans in the stands. So how about that? Kate Delaney here in the Man Cave. Welcome. Have a seat. We've got some big comfortable chairs for you. We would rewatch the Derby. Bob Baffert, one of my favorites, he wins again. So Authentic was his horse, and he said that he felt like, like he had won for the first time. He was so excited about this horse. But watching this race and seeing an empty Churchill Downs, wow. It really was very strange and really hit me between the eyes in seeing that. Yes, we're seeing sports and we're seeing empty stands everywhere, except for NASCAR with social distancing and how huge some of the areas are. They've been able to have some people, but there's no way how Louisville is, and I know a lot of you are listening to me there. It's the people are friendly. It's amazing. It's definitely something that should be on your bucket list. Even if you're not necessarily a horse racing aficionado, you can appreciate it, trust me. But wandering around the grounds and not seeing people and those mint juleps and all of that, I can't imagine the pageantry of it, what it's like. Wow. Wow. But holding the race was a big deal. So they held the race. And that's the good news. The good news is, yeah, it was empty, but it wasn't an empty victory for Bob Baffert. It was a great victory, and it was fun to watch an upset. It was fun to watch an upset. What was really wild is normally you'd have a lot of heavy betting, let's be honest. And we live in the world of betting now because it's legal in so many more areas where you can easily place bets. So betting on the Kentucky Derby happens like clockwork. But this was the 146th running of the Derby. This is how far down it was. 52% from last year's record amount of money that was wagered. Because you didn't have fans at the track. Churchill Downs reported that $79.4 million was bet in the parimutuel pool on the race. Last year's Derby, $165.5 million in wagers across the board. From all sources, pretty much. So a decline, as they would say in the biz, in the handle. Because no on-site wagering. Fewer horses in the race. Tis the law. Was an odds on 4-5 favorite. Authentic. 8-1 odds. And bested a 15 horse field, the smallest since 1998. So more numbers. Over the past 5 years, $22.5 million has been wagered on average at the track on Derby Day. And that happens the first Saturday in May. Nobody's complaining, though, in the horse racing business on the other side of this because it went off. There was some wagering, and that's that. And then you move on to next year, and you start talking about next year. An authentic, stunning Tis the Law and a wire-to-wire Kentucky Derby win was pretty exciting. John Velasquez was the rider. And won by, you know, over a length. And that was his sixth Derby champion, Bob Baffert's. And he said it was like his first. And that's how he felt. He said it was just an incredible, incredible ride. He was fresh. He's a good horse. He was our number one pick from the beginning. And here we are, greatest race in the world. And I feel, you know, blessed that this happened. Something about Bob Baffert, this guy has the magic touch. He does. An authentic that went off at 8-1 odds, so not bad, right? 8-1 odds, has won 5 of his 6 career races. Only 1 loss, Santa Anita Derby. Finished 6th in the Santa Anita Derby. Crazy. There were other sports to be had that we would be jawing about in the man cave. And what would that be? Well, there's Major League Baseball, take your pick. There's hockey playoffs, there's NBA playoffs. So we'd certainly be talking about that. And there's also the U.S. Open. There's Serena Williams, who won her 100th match on Arthur Ashe Court, which is the main court of play at the U.S. Open, and she won it in 3 sets to get through to the quarterfinals, so that was her 100th win to get to the quarterfinals, so on that court, and she's looking for another big win. Her daughter's been there. They show her a lot on camera, and Maria Sakkari was her latest on it. I watched the tail end of that. I have one. This happened to you. You decide you're going to watch something, and then all of a sudden AT&T says, oh, no, you're not. And they jumble and pixelate everything. So I kind of saw Serena popping from side to side, which I knew was not right, and something was going on. But I saw a few shots anyway. And she won it in three sets. So we'll see how far she can go in this tournament. It would be big if she won, regardless of the fans. She misses the fans like everybody else does, and like they all do. All the athletes are saying in all the sports. But she's in tip-top shape, and she could come through this. Could, but there are several younger players at 39 that could stop Serena Williams. I'm rooting for her. I'm pulling for her to win because she's one of our greatest. She may be the greatest player of all time in the U.S. for women. There's no doubt about that. All right. How about this in the West semifinals, Game 3? Clippers lead that series 2-1. They beat the Nuggets 113-107. It's been kind of fun if you're a Hoop fan to watch this. In the East, the Celtics lead their series 3-2. The Celts knocked off the Raptors 111-89. And the Celtics were just dominant. They just routed the Raptors. Defense, offense, I mean, they had all of that going on. There was not even a question, right? And in sports, there's always the thing about being fined, right, for different things. And I talked about the U.S. Open just with Serena, but one of her friends, they're all buddies when you're at that level, Novak Djokovic, I was watching. I could actually see this match. This was not jumping around on my television screen at the time. But what was interesting about the Joker is that he didn't make it through. So you're watching him play, and you're thinking, oh, he's so good. He's unstoppable. He got stopped. He got stopped because in his match against Busta, he had to retire. He was forced to retire because he hit a referee. It was accidental, but he hit a lines umpire, they call them, right in the throat. And he tweeted out, the whole situation has left me really sad and empty. I checked on the lines person, and the tournament told me that, thank God, she's feeling okay. I'm extremely sorry to have caused such stress. So unintended. And it was so unintended, but it happened, and he was fined a ton of money, and he was immediately disqualified from the tournament. So just hitting an errant ball, just hitting it back behind him, hit her right in the throat. It was such a shocker. Such a shocker. All right, we're leaving the man cave. It feels like we just opened the door, doesn't it? To this whole hour, in fact. Thank you all for listening. A big shout out to Mo Flam and an elbow bump or two to everybody else surrounding this show and making it happen, including Nathan Reeder, the best. Make it count.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.